You have your Bibles there in Psalm 107. We all desire to see the Lord working in our lives. We all desire to see Him doing something in our lives that is marvelous, that we can see His hand. We all desire that. And today, as I was reading through Psalm 107 and looking at what this cross-section of people was that we find in Psalm 107, it struck me that there was a characteristic of one of them that was out of the ordinary, something that was not mentioned about the rest of them. Let's do a little brief survey of Psalm 107 there. Do you have your Bibles? Look at verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, for whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And then notice the Bible says in verse 3, He gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. So first of all, I see a people who are lost. Do you see that? They're wandering around. The Bible says in verse number 6, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And so we find the first characteristic of a person here that is looking and in difficulty is a person who's lost. There's an interesting story. Back in 2012, there was a tour group that had gone to Israel. And this was a foreign tour group, had a lot of different nationalities of people. Well, in the course of the tour, one of the ladies that was there, she was from some Asian country. She had slipped away from the group and had, for some reason, changed her clothes and come back to the group. The group didn't recognize her. And someone reported the particular lady missing. And through a series of miscommunications there, they went about for 3 hours looking for this lady who was missing. And she was described as an Asian lady, could speak English well, you know, and so forth. And they looked by air and on foot for 3 hours. They looked for this lady. And the lady that was missing, supposedly, was helping them look. She was going around and helping them. Yeah, we got to find this lady. Had no clue that this was the person. She was the person they were looking for. And so what we find is, after 3 hours, eventually they came to realize that the woman that was supposedly lost was actually the one kind of helping them look for her, you know. And they called the whole thing off, and the policeman there in the city there made a statement and said that the woman simply didn't recognize the description of herself and had no idea that she was missing. And I tell you today, that's a sad place to be, isn't it? Here we find the first description of someone that is lost. I'm thankful today that, you know, at least if we're lost, we can understand that. We can admit that and know it. It's kind of bad when you're lost and you don't know it, right? And the point that I'm making that we find today is that this group of people, first of all, we're kind of making a little study here as we get started. This cross-section of people, we find, first of all, they were lost. And the Bible says in verse number 6 that they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of all their distresses. The second group of people I find is the hungry and thirsty in verse 5 there. Hungry and thirsty. And it could be talking again about even the same people who were lost. But another description is someone who had some physical need. They were lost. They were hungry. They were thirsty. Have you ever been in that situation before? We were out yesterday making some visits, and it was a little bit warm. It wasn't terrible. It was a beautiful day. But as we were out making visits, you found yourself getting thirstier and thirstier, you know, and hungry and hungry. And then you don't realize how hungry you are until you're sitting down at some food, and you know, and you're thirsty. You're drinking everything down. The point is, when we get hungry and thirsty, we find ourselves in need. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about someone who is destitute of the most fundamental things that they need: food and water. And in the same situation, like we would believe some of our little babies around here are famishing and they're absolutely going to wither away and die if they don't get food right now and something to drink, you know, because they're screaming and crying. We know that there's a problem there. And often we just kind of excuse it as, oh, they're hungry and we need to go feed them. I'm saying today that those that are hungry and thirsty, they'll cry out unto the Lord. And guess what? He will hear them and will deliver them out of all their distresses. That's a blessing, isn't it? For hungry and thirsty, the Bible says that He will do that. But notice also verse number 10, we find another segment of population here that may find themselves in a very desperate position. The Bible says in verse 10, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. This is a description of those who are in prison, those who are captive. And the Bible says that they can find themselves in this situation. It can be hopeless, and it can be in a position where they are just absolutely without hope. They can never be rescued, or they don't think that there's going to be anybody coming for them. And they're in this prison because of maybe something they've done. The Bible says in verse 11, they've rebelled against the words of the Lord and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help them. So it might have been because of the fact that they got themselves into this bad position. Have you ever been in a place where you got yourself in a bad position before? Yeah, I mean, we get that all the time, don't we? I mean, we put ourselves in a position where, you know, we've made bad decisions and we've made some poor choices, and we get ourselves into a position and we're desperate. We're in need. We might even be in bondage. But you know what the Bible says in verse number 12 there? Therefore, or verse 13, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. That's a good thing to do. But you know what the Lord did? The Bible says he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Here, God has helped now three classes of people. One class of people was lost. They were desperate. They could not find their way. He cried. God heard them and delivered them. They were hungry and thirsty. They cried. God heard them and delivered them. They got themselves bound up because of their rebellion against God, and they got themselves in a hard position, and they cried, and God heard them and delivered them out of all their distresses. What a blessing, huh? You know, the statement is, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works to the children of men. Almost as if to say that here's a segment that we talked about, three classes of people, three conditions that we find ourselves in, maybe ourselves, in this day. And we find ourselves in this position and we cry unto the Lord and he delivers us, and then we go on about our business as if nothing happened. We don't see God in it. It's not a position where we're in where we just recognize the working of God. Instead, we just kind of move on and we go on as if there's nothing that's changed in our life. And the prayer and the cry is, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works to the children of men. I would understand then that by context, that God helped these people all the same, but they failed to see him in it. Then we go on even with one more in verse 17. This is a sad one. The Bible says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. The Bible says very clearly that the way of the foolish man is going to be difficult and hard. Why a foolish man gets himself in all kinds of trouble. Proverbs says this, the fool walketh in darkness. There's nothing worse than walking in darkness and trying not to stumble or maybe to stub your toe. And man, I tell you what, if you're a wise person, you're going to go over and turn the light on, right? The Bible says a fool walks in darkness. He doesn't know where he's going. He can't follow the path. And the Bible also says that a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He goes on in his stupidity. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. The fool despises his father's instructions. We find here that it's the fool's own problem. It's because of their transgression that they get themselves into problems. How many times have we been a fool in our lives? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand today, but I can guarantee you this, that every one of us are sitting in a position where we can look back to a place in our lives where we're a fool. We despised instruction. We said, I see the evil, but I'm going to go on confidently. We get destroyed. We get ourselves into a place where we think our way is right, or we even act as if there is no God, and we get ourselves in trouble. Notice the Bible says there, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near to the gates of death. All right, so then they get in a desperate position. It's their own foolishness, and it's our own foolishness that have led us to this place. But guess what? When we get into that place, who do we turn to? We turn to God, don't we? Help us, God, help me! And so the Bible says they cried unto the Lord in verse number 19, in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. What a merciful God we have. It's as if we were little children. And we had a little child on family night last Friday night doing some very foolish things, and they got hurt. And, you know, it's as if, you know, as a dad, you know, sometimes you want to say, I told you so. If you wouldn't have done that, you wouldn't have got hurt. You know, that doesn't help the situation. You know what? She's crying. There's a difficulty there. What does the dad do? Goes over and helps her. How does the mom do? She goes over and helps her. We gotta protect. We gotta help. We gotta heal. That's the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father. And if we who are so sinful and wicked can do good things to our children and to bring them to a place of love and comfort, how much more can our Heavenly Father do that? Oh, every time. They were lost. They rebelled. We rebelled. We were fools. Every time we cry, God is there to deliver us out of our distresses. Praise God for that today. And I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. But I see one more class of people here, one more situation that really is extraordinary. Start in verse number 23 again with me. We mentioned the lost, the hungry, the thirsty, the prisoner, the fool. But notice the hopeless here in verse 23. Again, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth a stormy wind, and which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. You know the difference that I see in this hopeless situation right here? Now before, God doesn't bring any condemnation on these people, those last classes that we've talked about. The fool. Now He says very clearly, it's because of your foolishness that you got yourself into the situation. And the Bible says if you're bound up in prison, it's because of your rebellion that you got bound up there. And the lost, and they walked away, and they're wandering around, and they're hungry and thirsty. And yet the Bible says that when they do these things, God still will hear them and deliver them. It's a blessing, even though they brought themselves many times into this. We don't find a lot of condemnation here right in the Scriptures, right here, for those things. But I notice something different about the hopeless in verse 23. I noticed that they didn't bring this on themselves. I noticed that here they are. They're going about their work. Now, the Israel people, the Jewish people that were being discussed here, were not seagoing people. Generally speaking, you don't find Jews out, you know, sailing and so forth. Now, some of their northern neighbors did, Tyre and Sidon and others. They were the ones that were merchants, and they would go about in the seas and so forth. And so when it became necessary for one of the people to go about in the seas, they became kind of an icon. And there was nothing pleasurable about the seas. Today we take cruises and, you know, we'll go out on the water. But, you know, back in these days, they had very crude ships in our terms with sails and so forth. And they were very much associating the wind with the hand of God. And their lives were in danger just by going out on a boat. If someone went out on a voyage and made it back alive, they were counted almost like supernatural. This is amazing. And it was understood that when you were going down to do your business in ships, then you were taking your very life in your hands by going down, because you could not control the weather, you couldn't control the wind, and thereby you couldn't control your fate. But yet we find them going down to the sea in ships. And the Bible says that indeed their worst nightmare came through. Verse number 25, He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind and lifteth up the waves thereof. I didn't bring in illustrations this morning on this, but I'm reminded of one illustration of a mariner who was out on the ocean. And the testimony was that there could be from 50 to 100 foot waves. Can you even imagine that? 50 to 100 foot waves. The testimony going down in these waves, and all around them you couldn't see anything as tall as the buildings that you could see in a downtown area. You know, the waves were up over your head, and you'd come up over and feel like you're on top of the world and come crashing down again. I can't even fathom the power of the waves and the wind and the sea. Now, I know that that's in the ocean, and what we're talking about here is more than likely like the Mediterranean Sea, but still the idea is that there's great waves coming up over us. And the Bible says it came up there and lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven. I don't think that's an exaggeration. I think there is an overwhelming sense here of the power of the waves. And then they go down again to the depths, and their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men. Their wits end. They have no idea what to do. They've done everything they can do. And then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He does the exact same thing for them. that he's done for all the rest of the people. But I want you to notice one fundamental difference. The difference in all of these is the detail that's given for those who go down to the sea and to do their business in great waters. Because verse number 24 tells us the key that these see the works of the Lord and his wonders. I ask you this question again. Why do they get to see God? Why is it that they get to see God when those that were hungry and thirsty missed him? Maybe those that were in prison missed him. Those that were fools missed him. Why do they get to see the wonderful works and the power of God? And I have to ask myself that question. I want to see him. And so what are some characteristics then that they have? What do they find themselves in that I may be missing in my life and thereby not able to see the wonderful works of God in my life? And I think I've got two things that can help us this morning according to the Word of God. And as if to say they have some special insight into the works of God and the wonders of the deep. Why do they get to see the wonders of the deep and the works of the Lord? I believe their experience, and listen carefully, and this is the message this morning. Their experience parallels those who have similar experiences in our spiritual life. And here's an opportunity for me to have the same experience as them. And I want to see God in my life. I want to see God working. I want to see His wonderful works. I want to see His wonders. I want to see God do wonderful things. Why do they get to see it? And the others didn't. Well, let me give you, if I can, two thoughts this morning. Number one, I find in verse 23 this thought, and that is that they took the path of greatest hardship. Now, don't miss this tonight, this morning. This was not a goal of theirs. I don't think people set up and say, you know what, this morning, I'm going to take the hardest path to church. I mean, I'm going to get out of my car, I'm going to drive to the woods that are between me and the next road, and I'm going to walk through those woods, leaving my car behind. And if there's a pond there, I'm going to swim through the pond. And if I have to climb that mountain over there, I'll climb that mountain and come down the other side, and then I'll have to hitchhike to the next road, or whatever the case may be. There's nobody that's going to say, that's my goal, to go through hardship. And in a sense, I understand what we're talking about. I'm not talking about just making this the goal for the sake of having a hard time or having a hard life. That's not the goal. No, when the Bible says in verse 23, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, this was something that they were called to do. In a sense, this was their task. This was their job. And when doing it, they needed to fulfill their responsibility. And that required doing some hard things. That required going down to the sea. That required doing their business in great waters. And so because of the fact that they were going about their responsibility, then they were going to have to go through the hardships that they were going to experience on the sea. It was not a goal, but this was a requirement to get the job done. How else was going to get the freight from one area to the other, to the next? How were they going to get the passengers or whatever the case might be? It was a requirement to get the job done. And we find them not shirking back and shrinking from the responsibility just to have security or convenience or comfort. Now, let me just draw some spiritual applications here real quick. God, and I don't think it pleases God for us just to simply take the hardest way all the time. I don't think it pleases God that we just choose to go the hardest way. But let me tell you this. Following the Lord in our spiritual walk requires us to make some hard decisions sometimes. It requires us, because of the calling on our life, to realize that my responsibility may take me down a path of hardship. And it's up to me, if I want to see the hand of the Lord in my life, listen carefully, not to shirk that responsibility. I could say, let me just bring it down. Raising children right now, we're right in the thick of it. And, that's our life stage. I mean, we're there. And so it would be easy for me on a daily basis. And it's happened. And I've got to constantly be on guard, but my flesh gets in the way. I'm busy, I'm distracted, I'm lazy. And when something comes up that my children maybe need some attention, maybe in discipline or in some other way, I could find it very easy to say, you know what, I can deal with that later. Or I'm just going to pretend I didn't see that. or I'm just gonna deal with that later. I've got a while. I'll deal with that at another time. And I can shirk my responsibility of hardship in that way. Listen carefully now. God's called me to this, raising children. He's called me to be able to bring my children up and to pour into them and invest in them. And so I could shirk that hardship and reality and go an easier way, like those men could have said, you know what, I'm not going to go down to the sea today. It looks a little bit tempestuous. It looks a little bit, I heard the weather forecast, and it's not going to be very good on the sea today. Maybe they're a little bit afraid. Maybe they're inconvenienced. Maybe they're not comfortable with that. And so they would shirk their responsibility as I could as a father. And I could miss seeing the hand of the Lord and His wonderful works. I could do that. We could talk about it many other ways. We could talk about that as a Christian. We've talked about soul winning and being a witness. You know what? God's called me to be a witness. God's called me to be a testimony to the world around me. But it could be so easy for me to go down this path and then there'd be some hardship in the way and I go out of the way. It's not convenient right now. It's not comfortable. I don't feel safe. I don't feel like this is the right time. Or maybe I'm just lazy or whatever it might be. And I could shirk that responsibility as I have it for the sake of comfort or ease. And I can miss the hand of the Lord. You see, the Bible says that they chose the path that was hardest. Of greatest hardship, they didn't shrink this responsibility. Those who take the path that they are called to. And I'm telling you this morning, all of us as Christians are called. Amen? We're all called to serve the Lord. All saints are servants. And all of our responsibility is included in this idea of what God's called us to. And so if we will take the path that we are called to, and we don't make the decision based on ease and convenience and comfort, then we will often see God in that greater and clearer way. Why don't we see God? I had asked myself the question, why did they get to see God? Because they chose to keep true to their heart or their responsibility they were called to. They just followed it through. And it required them to go through that hard time. It required them to go through that storm in the sea. But we find God helped them and they were able to see Him. What a blessing it is. There is a way that is harder. I could say it this way. There is a way that's easier. Listen, young people, in the world that we live in today, there's a way that's easy. There's a way that's more convenient. There's a way that's more accepting. There's a way that maybe people would be more understanding of and they would be more amiable too. But there is a way then, the Bible says, that is right. And oftentimes that right way requires some hard times. Maybe you'll have to make some hard decisions. Maybe you've got to understand that if I take a stand for the Lord in this area and I say no, or I make this change in my life, then I'm going to have to pay the punishment for that with my friends or with my maybe my job or whatever it might be. But let me tell you something today. Do you want to see God? I'm not saying just choose the path of hardship just for the sake of it being hard. I'm saying choose the path of hardship because it requires us to go through that because our responsibility. And you know, when we do that, there's an opportunity for us to see the wonderful works of God and His wonders in the deep. People who go through that will often see God in ways that other people cannot. People that go through hardship and don't go turn back or say, I'm not going to deal with this, or we're going to run away, or we're going to do something else, they will see God in a greater way than those who say, I'm not going to go through that. It's very easy for those mariners to say, I'm going to stay home today. And guess what? Their name would not have been included in verse 24 of those who saw the works of God and the wonders in the deep. You say, well, I'd rather be like those mariners that stayed home and, man, they're safe and they had a good day and they could come home to their families and they didn't have to worry about anything. That's fine, but let me say something to you today. God will not be real to you. You will not see the works of God as they did unless we go through this as they did. Why do they get to see God? Why do they get to see the works of God? Because they went through the hardship. They went through the hard times. And so I want to tell you, if I can, first of all, that they, when they go through this way that leads through hardship, they have a new ability to see the wonders of God and praise the Lord for that. We have not seen the Lord because we have not been in that place so often that we've been required. And I confess that there's been times in my life, I'm sure we're going to get to heaven and I'm going to see that God has wanted to show Himself to me in this area. Do you remember, Joel, that one time when you could have shared the gospel with that particular person? and you weren't prepared or you were afraid. I was going to show you something great that day. I don't know, but I'm just assuming that that's what it'll be. Because I refused, or I just chose it wasn't going to be my way. I decided that it was inconvenient or whatever it might be. And that could apply to multitudes of areas of my life. Why don't I see God? Because oftentimes I don't choose the hard way. I tell you today, if we're going to see God, we've got to stay the course. God's called us on something. He's called us to do something. He's called us to raise our families for the Lord. He's called us to love our wives and to love our husbands and to keep ourselves pure from the world. He's called us to be witnesses. And that course often requires us to go through hard times. And when we do, guess what? We'll see the works of the Lord. Let me tell you, though, it wasn't without its problems. They staggered about, the Bible says, like drunken men. They were at their wit's end. How many can resonate with that? I've been at my wit's end before. Lord, I've done everything that I know to do. I can't figure this out. This is too much. And somebody looks at you and what's wrong with you? You look like you're out of control. Yeah, this is hard. I mean, we get into a position here where there's waves that are higher than the boat and deeper than the boat. I mean, this is terrible. And the Bible says that they went continually to the Lord. They called unto the Lord and He heard them. And He brought them out of their distresses. Praise the Lord. So they took the path that is the hardest because that's where their responsibility led. But number two, it's a very simple message this morning. And notice, if you would, number two. Number one, they took the path of greatest hardship. Number two, they had the least distraction and saw the most detail. Notice again what the Bible says. They that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters. In looking through this, here's the point. Put yourself in the place of that mariner for a minute, that sailor. How many of you have ever been out on the ocean or on the lake before that you couldn't see shore, couldn't see around you, all right? You've been in that position, so you know a little bit about it. You get out into a place there, and there's just absolutely nothing. Now, sailors tell us as we look through accounts and so forth that this can be a kind of a maddening situation, especially if you're out for many, many months as it was in the old days, you know, and so forth. And you could just see nothing but water. Now, you think to yourself, well, that would be kind of neat. But, you know, after a while, it gets kind of boring, right? But you know why it's so boring? Because there's nothing for your eye to be distracted by. Now, here's what I'm saying. If your eye is not distracted by anything, then what you begin to do is you begin to pick up on smaller details that you'll never be able to see before. The Bible says, and what we find borne out as we look through the testimony of mankind, is that when these sailors were out on the ships and they had nothing else to look at, they had nothing to distract them. Are you getting this for a minute here? They weren't able to be distracted. There wasn't trees and people and cars and buildings and television and computers and everything else to distract them. All they had was nothing. They had just water. You know what? When something would come to the surface of the water and they could see some dolphin or shark, or they'd look down in the water and see down in there the multitudes of fishes and so forth, their eyes begin to pick up things that they would have never seen before because they're not distracted. Science tells us that when you're in the dark, the human eye can take as long as 30 minutes or more to adapt to seeing effectively in the dark. You know how that is when you're in a light room and you go in a dark room? You're blind practically, right? It's even with your eyes open. And then after a while, your eyes begin to adjust. I remember as a little baby, or a little child, younger, my parents would say, you know, I'd be, Dad, I'm afraid of the dark. You know, can we turn the light on? No, son, just lay there. Your eyes will adjust. You'll see in just a little bit. And you know, it was funny. I remember the realization I had after, if I was patient enough, I'd be laying there and I'd think about some things. All of a sudden I realized, hey, it's pretty light in here. I can see around, you know. I could have never seen that before, but I can start to see around now. Why? Because my eyes began to adjust to that darkness and let more light in. You know, it's an amazing thing. And I think that, you know, sometimes within 30 minutes, the science tells us that your eyes are about 80% adjusted to the darkness. Sometimes it can take as long as a couple of hours to completely adjust to a darkness and to be able to have that night vision that the Lord's given to us. But the point is that the vision comes in the dark time when we're able to adjust to that and when there's no light to distract us. Now, what I'm saying is, Are we having trouble? Listen carefully. Are we having trouble seeing God in the day-to-day of our lives? Are we having trouble seeing the Lord in those details and the little things? When's the last time you've really seen God? When's the last time you've seen His wonderful works and His mighty hand? Has it been a while? Oh, I know He's mighty, Pastor. I know He does good things. I mean, look at the Bible. He healed all those sick people and He saved me. Oh, you know, He helps me every day and got me up this morning. I understand. No. Listen, I'm talking about His wonderful works. I'm talking about, the Bible says here, His wonders of the deeps, the works of the Lord that can only be seen when there's no distractions around us. When our eyes are firmly focused on Him and we've got nothing else to look at except for Him, that's where we begin to see the mighty works and the wonders of God in the deep. That's why these sailors were able to look around and to see things that nobody else could see, because they didn't have the distractions of life around them. Today, I think that we don't see God because our eyes are filled with everything else. We fill them with the images of this world. We fill them with the distractions of everything around us. We fill our minds with every single thing of distraction. And it's no wonder that we can't see the works of God in our lives. And I believe that it's because God had brought them to the place, not only that they chose the hard way, and they went down to that sea, and they knew that it was going to be hard, and they were taking their life in their hands, but now they were going to see things because they weren't distracted by everything around them, and they're able to understand the works of God in a greater way. Why is it that somebody could, like the sailors, could come back and see, you'd never believe what we saw God do in our lives, and yet somebody could be sitting on the land, and they could say, I've never seen God do that in my life. Or I've never seen God working that way. I hear so-and-so give testimony about all the wonderful things that God has done, but I don't see that in my life. Let me tell you something today. Number one, we may be like those mariners who chose to stay home and say, I don't want to take the hard way. That's why you haven't seen God. Or number two, maybe you're so filled with other things that you cannot see God work. There's something about being in a place where you don't see anything else that will make you look for details. And it'll make you see things that you never saw before. Spurgeon, in his writing on this chapter, said this: seamen, because they have fewer objects around them, are more observant of those things that they have than landsmen are. And hence they are said to see the wonders in the deep. At the same time, the ocean really does contain many of the more striking of God's creatures. And it is the scene of many of the more tremendous of the physical phenomenon by which the power and more majesty of the Lord are revealed unto men. The chief wonders alluded to by the psalmist are the sudden storm and then the calm which follows it. All believers have not the same experience, the deep experience, for wise ends, that they may do business for Him, the Lord sends some of His saints to the sea of the soul trouble. And there they see, as others do not, the wonders of divine grace. Sailing over the deeps of inward depravity, the waste waters of poverty, the billows of persecution, the rough waves of temptation, they need God above all others, and they find Him. Sometimes God calls us over these deep and dark waters that those mariners were at, the sea of depravity helping some other men out, the sea of persecution calling us through some difficulty, maybe calling us through some times of trials and difficulties, but God says, if you'll go through it, you'll see me in ways that nobody else can. And I'm just asking us today, why do they get to see God? And I'll tell you this, it's because they chose that path that God had called them to in a spiritual sense, and they followed it, despite the hardships. And they followed that path, and they became adjusted to the landscape around them, and thereby their eyes began to pick up things that only they could see. I might be out there for a long time looking for something that they can see very quickly. You might be looking around for God to work where there may be somebody that can pick it up very quickly. What's the difference? Our eyes are adjusted to that spiritually. We've been attuned now to God working, and we can see it and we know it. And so I say that those who go down to the deep will experience the Lord the clearest. Well, the hungry and the thirsty, they got delivered out of their tribulation, their distresses. Those in prison got delivered. That fool got delivered. He cried unto the Lord, and God delivered him. But it was those sailors that they saw the wonderful works of God. Notice, if you would, in verse number 30, then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. And I see them having an outlook and a realization of something that God did, apart from what the others saw and what the others went through and what the others realized. Now, I believe today, if we ask ourselves, why did they see God? It's because of these two reasons. They weren't distracted, and they followed through on the hardship. Now, are we willing to pay that price today? It's a hard thing. Are we willing to come to our wits' end? That's not a fun place to be. If you've been there, that's not a desirable thing as a human being. But I'll tell you there, if it's in God's will and we're doing God's work, God has drawn us into that place by His hand, guess what? We're going to see the hand of God and His wonderful works. And if we can just be faithful, we'll see God in ways that others have not had the privilege to see Him because of one of these two reasons. Let me give you one other illustration before I'm done. Turn over to Luke chapter 5, if you would. We have a New Testament illustration of this. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 4. The story here is Jesus teaching and getting in the boat there. And verse 3, he entered into the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people. Verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, that's Peter, launch out into the deep. Now, do you see already that they were thrust out a little from the land in verse 3? Do you see that? They were in the shallows. They were in that safe place. If you know anything about swimming, you like to, when you're first learning to swim, you kind of, maybe dabble your feet a little bit. And then if you're getting really bold, you can jump in right next to the shore, right? Or the edge, whatever. The more confident you get, you move a little bit farther and farther away from the side. What I'm saying is that here these boats were out just a little bit so that they could hear each other and talk, and Jesus could teach them on the shore. But now Jesus said something different. He made the differentiation. He said, I want you to launch out into the deep. I want you to go out farther. You know, why couldn't we just stay right here, Lord? It's comfortable here. We're next to the land. We're safe. What if something happens? What if the boat springs a leak? What if all of a sudden we have there a problem and we've got to get back to the shore? Maybe the storm comes up. Isn't it best to stay right here, Lord? What did the Lord say? He said, Lord, Simon, I want you to launch out in the deep. Look at, if you would, in verse number 5 there. Verse 4, launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all they that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. You know, that day, in a very physical way, Peter saw the Lord, didn't he? Now, he saw the Lord physically, I know, but in a sense, he saw the power and the working of God. You know what I think is key to this whole thing? As we look in context of what we're talking about, those that go into great waters, and those that have to go through hardship, and those that go out, and they're going to go through these hard times, they're going to see the wonderful works. You know, Peter, in order for him to see the work of the Lord, he had to launch out in the deep. You know, too many of us are staying right around the shore where it's safe. Oh, I'll be a Christian, and I'll be in, and I'll be serving the Lord as long as it doesn't take me too far out. I don't want to launch out too far. I want to have my cables a little bit connecting to the shore there, so if I need to, I can pull myself back in. And as a Christian, we're walking with the Lord only so far. I'm not going to go this far. That's kind of fanatical. That's too much to follow the Lord. Let me tell you something today, and I praise the Lord for every one of us that come today to learn about the Lord. But it's only those that are willing to launch out into the deep, and those that are willing to go about the business of the Lord, that maybe the hard way, they're going to see the works of the Lord. And it's going to be those of us who decide, listen, I'm going to launch out in the deep, that can turn around and say, God, I see your hands and I understand what it is that you're doing. That's God's plan. And so today I'm asking us and I'm challenging us that we would launch out, that we would go farther, that we would go down to the sea and do our business in great waters. That we wouldn't stay around what we're used to. Splash around in the kiddie pool of our Christianity and make it something that's comfortable. And we come into church and we go home and it's just kind of our routine. There's nothing hard or inconvenient about it. Now, I'm not talking about, again, just being inconvenient for the sake of hardship. I'm saying we need to follow God. He asked us to launch out a little deeper. He asked us to make a little bit more harder decisions and to go a little bit farther and to give ourselves a little more and to dedicate ourselves a little more completely. This is what God has called us to do. And so as we close this morning, I'd like to just challenge you. In our walk with the Lord, we need to launch out a little deeper. Maybe it is that you haven't made a regular time with the Lord in your Bible reading. You have not made a regular time of prayer, or maybe it's lacked a little bit, and you've come into shore where it's a little bit safer. I'm telling us today that if we're going to see the working of the Lord and His marvelous works and His wonders in the deep, we're going to launch out into our walk with God in our lives. We're going to need to spend some more time with Him. It may be inconvenient. I don't have time this morning, or I'm tired, or this isn't fun, or whatever it might be. I'm telling you, though, it's those that make the decision that are going to see the hand of the Lord. And I desire to see God. Why do they get to see God? And many times I can't. It's because they choose the hard way. We need to choose the hard way when it comes to spending time with the Lord. Let's make it a priority. Let's make it something that is important to us. Launch out a little deeper in our walk with God. By the way, I think that relates to our church attendance. You say, Pastor, now you're kind of meddling. Now, I'm not trying to meddle here, but I'm saying that I believe that if we're going to be real about this thing, it's important to be in the house of the Lord. And I preached on that and I believe it. I don't think there's anything magical about Broadview Heights Baptist Church, but I think there's something powerful about doing God's work with His people. And we need to make that priority. We need to launch out a little deeper. Let's make it a little more inconvenient in our lives because it's what God calls us to do. And we'll see the Lord. We ought to launch out a little deeper in our love for the Lord. I believe today that if we can say, I love God, that's wonderful. I can say I can swim too while I'm sitting in a 2-foot kiddie pool, right? I'm a good swimmer. As long as you don't put me out there in the pond or in the lake or the ocean. I'm an excellent swimmer. You know, I think that there's little to be understood about our Christianity until it's tested, right? And I don't say that we're a good Christian or we love God or we're doing what all we need to do until we get out to that place where we can trust Him only. That's where the rubber meets the road. This is no test of Christianity inside this four walls. The test of Christianity comes when there's a crisis in our life. And because of the fact that we're serving God, we face consequences at our work, or we face health consequences because of Satan working in our life, or whatever it might be. And we continue down that course. That's where we're going to see God. And we can continue to do those wonderful things. And our love for God can grow and we can launch out deeper in our love for Him. You know how we love God? Hate the world. You know how we hate God? We love the world. Love not the world, the Bible says. And I think we need to launch out a little deeper in our distinction from the world and our association of the world as a Christian. Oh, we're here in this world, but we're not of this world. And I don't have to be the ones that follow after their culture and after their entertainment and after all of the things that they tell me that I need to do. I don't need all that for the world. I need to launch out a little deeper in my love for God. And I'm encouraging you in that this morning, but I say also we need to launch out a little deeper in our service for the Lord. Oh, maybe there's something that God has called us to do. Maybe there's something that God has prompted us and we have a talent or we have a gift from the Holy Spirit at salvation. We could use it. By the way, every one of us do. Maybe we need to launch out a little deeper in using that for the Lord. We need to go out in the deep. Oh, you say, Pastor, I'm comfortable right here. I'm not comfortable doing those things. It's not convenient for me. My schedule doesn't fit it in. Listen today, I know that and I understand that, but I'm saying if we want to see the working of the Lord, we want to see God's hand, we've got to launch out a little deeper. And I'm just burdened today that we not just simply be floating by the shore, that we not just be safe in the harbor. There was no ship that was designed to sit in the dock the whole time. The ships were designed to go out and do their business. And I'm telling you, as a Christian, we're not designed to sit in where it's comfortable and in where it's convenient and in where it's safe. God wants us to launch out in the deep a little bit. And I think we need to launch out a little deeper in our service for the Lord. Now, you say, Pastor, I'm busy, and praise the Lord for it. I'm not talking about those who are out doing the work of God in the deep already. I'm talking those of us who are comfortable. And we need to get out a little deeper, and we need to serve the Lord. I believe we need to launch out a little deeper in our faith in the Lord as well. How do we do that? Well, number one, we launch out in our faith by not looking according to our sight. And we're too used to making decisions in our lives based on how we understand things, you know, how we see it. We need to start making our decisions based on what God's Word says. Is this right? Is this God's will? Is this something that God wants me to do? And then let's do it. Not, well, this is a better move for me. Or this is more convenient. If we look through all of those things, what we're saying is, basically, I want to stay where it's safe, or I want to go where I understand. Peter, when he was admonished by the Lord to launch out a little deeper into the ocean, into the water there, said, Lord, that doesn't make any sense. We've been out all night fishing. But you know what his testimony was? Lord, nevertheless, we'll go out a little deeper and let our nets down. You know what that was? That was an act of faith. He didn't understand it. It didn't make sense. He had been right there and nothing had happened. But Jesus said, go do it again. And when he did it, he saw the working of the Lord. And when we follow the Lord by faith in our lives, listen today, we will see the wonderful works of God and we'll be able to understand what his wonderful works are, his wonders of the deep, because we're following him by faith. Launch out a little deeper by faith in the Lord. And I'm not so comfortable with that, Pastor. I know. And I'm not either. But that's where we see the hand of the Lord. And I'm not so convenient. It's not so convenient in my life. And I understand that. But that's where we see the hand of God and his wonderful works. And so we launch out a little deeper. And I say today, as we close then, as these men and these sailors saw the hand of the Lord, it's a scary place to be as a Christian out in that boat with waves that are going up to the heavens and down to the depths. At their wits' end, staggering back and forth like a drunken man. That's a scary place to be. But can I say this? Go back to Psalm 107 very quickly there. And I'm going to close on this thought. I want you to notice real quickly whose those waves were. Notice in verse 25, he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind and lifteth up the waves thereof. You know who ordained all that to happen? God. You know who had it all in his hand, in his control? God. It's scary to go out there in the deep. I'm going to see some weather I don't want to see. I'm going to be at my wit's end, and I don't know what I'm going to be able to handle all this. I don't know if I'm going to handle if the doctor tells me that I've got some incurable disease, or I lose something precious to me, or maybe my job, or whatever it is. Lord, I'm not comfortable with that. I'll tell you this right now. I understand that as a human being. We're not comfortable with that. But let me say, God's got it in his hand. It's his to raise the winds and the waves. But notice also, they cried unto the Lord. Notice verse 29. This is no surprise. We have a God who calms the storm. Verse number 29, he maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. You know, what I'm saying is, if I'm on this course and all of a sudden it gets hard, whoa, I don't want that. I'm going to kind of get away from that a little bit. I'm going to be over here where it's comfortable and kind of copacetic. My dad said, I never knew what that word meant, but I think it means even keeled and everything going along. I'm just going to go ahead over here where it's safe and convenient. I don't know about getting out there. Okay, that's fine, but you're not going to see the hand of the Lord. Why? Because God's path took us right through that. And when I follow that hardship and I go through it, man, it's hard, Lord. I don't know what's going on. This is tough and it's inconvenient and it's scary and I'm at my wit's end. He says, I have the storm in my hand. And he kicks the wind up and he calms it down. And when we get done at the other end, guess what? Our testimony can be like those men. We can see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. You know, I hunger to see the work of the Lord. I hunger it for myself. I hunger it for my children. For the work of the Lord here, our church. I hunger to see God's hand. I hunger to see him. But it doesn't happen while we're safely tied up at the shore. It doesn't happen if we just kind of go along and are comfortable. It happens when we get into a position where we're outside of our control. And we're outside of our comfort zone. And we're outside of our understanding. And we can call upon the Lord. And He can deliver us. And we can see His marvelous works. Do you desire that today? Why do they get to see God? They chose the hard way. Their eyes weren't distracted. And today it's the same way for us. I hope we desire to see the Lord. And it's not going to happen as we just kind of go along and do what we've always done. Or kind of pull back where it's convenient. It's going to happen when we launch out into the deep. And we're able to see God deliver us in those times of trouble. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning for the fact that we can see the beginning and the end of all of these things. And Lord, You're in control from all the beginning to the end. But Lord, I pray today that we might not lose heart in the midst of it. Oh Lord, I pray that You'd help us. As those mariners were, Lord, in that position, they were going about their business, Lord. They weren't out there for a pleasure cruise. They were going about their business. They were doing what they were expected to do. That was their responsibility. And Lord, You whipped up a storm that brought them to their wits' end, and they were not able to deal with it. They cried unto You, and You delivered them.